Verse 1, at the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. That word lay is past tense. That means he ain't there. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go and tell my brother that they go into Galilee. And there they shall see me. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for already the feeling of the presence that we can feel, God, this morning. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd have your hand on us, God. Thank you for those that testified, God, for the songs, Lord. And God, I thank you, God, that we can come together, Lord, and feel your presence, Lord. God, have your way right now, Lord. Move in this church. Help me, dear God, the next few minutes, God, just to follow your lead, Lord. And we'll praise you for all you do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. When's the last time you worshiped God? I'm not talking about coming in the choir, get to singing, or somebody get to singing and we have a good time, you know, and you raise your hands. That ain't necessarily worship. I go back to what Preacher Jack Lasseter said about prayer. He said, when you pray, you're preoccupied with a need. And when you praise God, you're preoccupied with a blessing. But when you worship God, you're just preoccupied with God. When's the last time you came in and got preoccupied with God? Not for what he's done for you, but because of who he is. Like I said, when you look at the Bible, every time they're talking about worship, every time they're talking about really honoring God and worshiping God, it's a bad situation. So let me ask you a question. Me and Dallas talked about this several weeks ago. How real do you want God to be in your life? How real do you want God to be in your life? Do you want God just to be a Sunday morning God in your life? Or maybe just a Sunday night God or a Wednesday night God? But you know, most of the time when tragedy strikes, it ain't on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And the problem with most of us, if we got to be prayed up and ready for tragedy, when we're prayed up, Dale, when everything's going good, when we at church, 9 times out of 10, it ain't going to happen that way. So I want God to be real in my life on Monday morning and on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And the only way I can make God real in my life is, number one, I got to be saved. And I'm preaching this morning on the premise that everybody's right with God. If you ain't right with God, you're wasting your time listening to me right now. Come on down to the altar and get things right with God. We'll pray with you. You can get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you can sit down and listen to the sermon and apply it to your life. But we've been so blessed, and we've been so, we come to God's house, and we've got so much, and God's been so good to us that we fail to worship. We come in and sit down, and for lack of a better way of saying it, you wait on the preacher to cheerlead you, and you wait on the choir to sing you into a happy state. And you wait on somebody to stand up and sing, and so you can smile and clap your hands. But when we come to God's house, you ought to be prayed up when you get here. If we was right with God and we were doing things the right way, we'd have church in the parking lot before we got into Sunday school class. When you think about how good God's really been to you, when you think about how much the blessings that God has put on your life, I'm just telling you, folks, when we come into God's house, if we ain't careful, we sit around waiting to be cheered when we're supposed to be the ones cheering. We was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. And the thing about it is, you know, everybody's got different jobs. Everybody's got different things that they can do. And we come into God's house, and the preacher's going to preach, you know, and the singers are going to sing, and we're going to come in. But when's the last time you encouraged somebody? You know what, Skip and Tommy and you know what, these that testified this morning, you know what they did? They were encouraging people. They were encouraging somebody, because Michelle can stand up and say, listen, 10 years ago, I was in the bar room, but now I ain't in the bar room. You know what? That encourages people. Let me tell you something. That encourages people to realize you ain't got to be a drunk. You ain't got to be a drug addict. God can bring you out of that stuff. God can put your foot on a solid rock, and God can place you in a house of God. God can put you in a place where you can worship and feel the Spirit of God. Thank God you ain't got to be doing the things of the world to feel good. You know what Skip was doing this morning? He was encouraging. Talking about all the stuff that he's had to go through, and he still can come to God's house and praise the Lord. You know what Tommy was talking about? He was encouraging this morning. See, the problem is some of us, why in the world they got to take up so much time? The preacher's getting ready. Why? Shut your mouth. The problem is everybody else ain't testifying. Mike, how good God been to you?
He's been good.
Barry, how good God been to you? Benji, how good God been to you? I want God to be real in my life. I want God to be real in this church. When we come into this building here, I want it to get so real that I can feel. Let me tell you something. I felt God this morning in Sunday school. We were sitting there, and I had a chill just run up my spine in Sunday school this morning. And I know it wasn't because Adrian was sitting behind me. It was because God showed up. When's the last time you come into God's house and it got so real that you just couldn't hardly stand it? It ought to be like that every time we come. But the problem is, most of us are satisfied where God's at. And we're satisfied where God's got us. If that's your case, you're in a bad way this morning. Because God's a lot more real than that. When Abraham was offering Isaac, God showed up. Think about that. He wanted God to be so real in his life that he was willing to do whatever it took for God to be real in his life. How real is God to you? Man, I really thought I had most every time I study and Greg and I take a picture of the title of the message and I'll send it to Riley and these guys in the sound booth. And 90% of the time, that's what I preach because I've prayed about it. God just kind of messed all that up this morning. Somebody here needs to hear this morning. You've been playing with God. You've been playing with God. And the only time you pray is when you come to church. And the only time you read your Bible is when you come to church. God ain't real in your life. God ain't real in your life. I want him to be real in my life. I want to feel his presence. Steve, when I open up his word, I want to feel his presence. When I'm right by myself, when I'm going down the highway and I'm listening to gospel music, I want to feel his presence. When's the last time God got real to you? Think about it. When's the last time God got real to you? Was it the last time that you had a real urgent need in your life and you really had to pray? Ain't it amazing how sometimes we got to ask God's forgiveness before we can get prayed up, before we can ask God to help us with a need? It'd be a tragedy for something to happen to one of Wes's little kids. And then Wes has got to get right with God before he can pray for that child. See, God, if that's the case, God ain't real in your life. God, when they came into that garden that night, that morning, it's amazing to me that the ones that walked with Jesus, the ones that talked with Jesus, the ones that saw all that he had done, all his 3 years of ministry, they saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the blind. They saw him come on the scene, cast out devils. They saw him do all that. And then when he died on the cross, they gave up. But when they went in that garden and that stone was rolled away, Jesus got real. How real is he to you? How real is he to you? I want you to bow your heads with me.